Shalom and welcome to Torah Bites. This is Alan Gilman with Torah Bites for the week of October the 12th, 2024, the 10th of Tishri, 5785. This week's message is entitled, The Eternal Scapegoat, and I'm reading from Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 16, verses 21 and 22. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. It's been a year since October 7th, the worst attack on the Jewish people since the Holocaust. Hamas terrorists breached the Gaza security fence and slaughtered about 1,200 men, women, and children, including babies, wounded around 5,000, and took over 230 Israelis and others hostage, with about 100 still being held. If that wasn't bad enough, this unthinkable atrocity unleashed not a wave of sympathy for Israel and the Jewish people, but rather a tsunami of worldwide Jew hatred. The Jews have been the eternal scapegoat of just about anything and everything that has gone on in the world. Scapegoating is when an individual or a group is blamed for problems they did not cause. The concept of scapegoating is derived from the Hebrew scriptures, but has nothing to do with wrongly blaming the Jewish people or any other people group. How the term scapegoat historically came to us is worth investigating. The Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, Torah portion includes a ritual performed in the days of the Mishkan, or in English the Tabernacle, and the later Temple. Two goats were to be taken. One was chosen by lot as a sin offering, the other became known as the scapegoat. I say became known as because the term scapegoat resulted from ancient English translations, namely Wycliffe and Tyndale and the King James Version. The Hebrew word translated as scapegoat is la'azazel. Many modern translations, including my go-to, the English Standard Version, no longer use the term scapegoat, but to Azazel instead, as if it refers to some sort of demonic entity. The problem is, as we read in what I quoted at the beginning, the Kohen, or the priest, was to send the second goat off to wander in the wilderness. There's no mention of giving it up to any particular entity. This more reasonably fits with the idea of scapegoat, but not in the way that you might think. The reason why the older English translations chose the word scapegoat to describe the second goat was not because this goat was a scapegoat in the popular sense, that of taking blame, but rather this was the escape goat, as in the one that would be led away to be lost in the wilderness. While it's true that the sins of the nation were placed upon this goat, scapegoat in the Torah context refers to its carrying away the sins, not taking the blame for them. How ironic then that the very people who were given a scapegoat in the biblical sense to carry away their sins would become the scapegoat in the modern sense for the sins of the nations. And yet, the two uses of scapegoat are related. Scapegoating in the modern sense reflects our inability to accept the true nature of negative situations or circumstances. It could be due to an unwillingness to accept responsibility, so we blame shift, or we are unwilling to do what is necessary to engage the actual dynamics of evil. Perhaps we're afraid of being personally indicted in the process, or we may find ourselves having to change our perspective of long-held beliefs. Whatever the reason, we find resolve in victimizing others through blame, a scapegoat, regardless of the damage we may cause them. Through the Yom Kippur ritual, God acknowledged that human beings could not bear their individual and societal wrongs on their own. His loving mercy provided a way to release us from such a crushing burden. The need to repeat the ritual year by year reflects the reality that it didn't permanently solve the problem. That would wait until the coming of the true scapegoat, the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, according to John chapter 1, verse 29. Note, I'm aware that goats and lambs are not the same, but I think you get the point. Tragically, much of the world hasn't discovered the wondrous relief of the forgiveness of sin that's been offered to us through the messianic scapegoat. Unable to cope, they seek others, most often the Jewish people, God's chosen ones upon whom to lay the burden of sin. They don't realize that when they do so, it's ultimately God they are blaming. Ironically, God wants to take the burden of sin onto himself through the Messiah. But for that to happen, we need to stop blame shifting and take personal responsibility for our sins. As we read in the New Covenant writings, 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Torah Bytes is located on the web at www.torahbytes.org. Comments may be sent to info@torahbytes.org. You can follow us on Twitter at Torah Bytes. Until next time, this is Alan Gilman for Torah Bytes. L'hitra'ot.